this morning, I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 90. We're going to read Psalm 90. We're just going to read a few verses here, verses 1 to 4, and then verses 10 through 14 of Psalm 90. If you don't have a Bible with you today, there's one in the pew there. You can pull that out. And if you turn to page 606, there you will find this scripture that we look at today in Psalm 90. So Psalm 90, beginning with verse 1. And the Word of God says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, Return, O children of men, for a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. And then jumping down to verse 10. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Amen. So I want to begin this morning by sharing with you something that happened to me about a month ago. I was at the YMCA and I was working out on something called an elliptical machine. So I asked Colton to put this on the screen for you so you know what I'm talking about. This is an elliptical machine, which is basically pedaling while you're standing up and you have the hand things and you go back and forth. And so I was working on this machine and there were about 10, 20 of these machines kind of all lined up and I'm working on my machine. And as I'm doing the elliptical and working, I at the end of my workout, about half hour into it, I began to feel kind of dizzy and lightheaded. And the next thing I remember is hearing somebody say, oh no, he's fallen. And I thought, I wonder who fell. And then I realized I am lying on my back of this machine looking up at the ceiling. And then I hear the intercom say, 10-10 at the elliptical machines. In the jargon of the Y, that means a medical emergency, 10-10 at the elliptical. And then I realized that I'm the medical emergency. For you see, I had been working out on this machine and I fainted while I was working out. And I fell backwards and I missed the back of it with my head at least, but my back crashed into it. And I'm lying there and they get me up off of the machine. Thank you, you can take that down, Colton. Just wanted you guys to see, because it scares me every time I see it. Get that off the screen. But to make a long story short, I went home and Janelle drove me, bless her heart, to the emergency room. And they did a bunch of tests at the emergency room. And then later on, I had to do the treadmill test and the stress test and the echocardiogram. And everything turned out great with my heart. And the doctor came in and basically and shrugged and said, well, Greg, I don't know what happened to you, but if it happens again, call me. Now, I got some interesting responses to this from my family. I told my older brother in California about this, and he called me up and said, well, Greg, you know what? God only gives you so many heartbeats. Why are you wasting them on exercise? And then I told my younger brother, just to know who my family is, I told him I had a CT scan done, and they found out I had a brain. I had the echocardiogram done, and they found out that I have a heart. And he said, that's great, Greg. All you need is courage, and you can be in the Wizard of Oz. And then our son Daniel, he was at worship team practice that night, and it was late, and he came down to the emergency room, and he's sitting there and is about to ready to get released. He's going to leave. And I said, Daniel, thank you so much for coming to the emergency room and being with me. And he said, "No problem, Dad. I figure at your age, I'll be here a lot." I told him this morning, "I'm committed to be a burden to you, by the way." Now, actually, the truth is, I received amazing support from my lovely wife, Janelle, and my kids, and the elders had a meeting that night that I had to miss, and so they all came down to the emergency room. Pastor Mike came to the emergency room, and I'm used to being on the other side of this. I'm used to being the one that talks to you on the stretcher, right? But this time, it was my turn to be on the stretcher and have people minister to me, and people were so loving and kind and supportive. It was wonderful. But I want to tell you this morning my response to all of this. On the way to the hospital, as we were going to the emergency room, my daughter called. And she actually FaceTimed me. And she was actually over in Hungary, 8,000 miles away, and she was visiting her fiance there. And it's like 2:30 in the morning there, and so she shows up on the screen of my phone. And as soon as I saw her, I began to cry. Kind of like I'm going to do now. Because at that moment, I realized this could be serious. This could be a lot worse than I think it is. And I don't want to be melodramatic here, but I didn't know. Could this be the time that God says it's time to go home? The English poet and essayist Samuel Johnson in the 1700s said, "The prospect of one's imminent demise wonderfully concentrates the mind." True. In other words, death's prospect has a way of focusing things. And really, for this last month, it has been an opportunity for me to kind of reevaluate and to focus my life. I also ran across an article that had been in a sports magazine. And the article was about a well-known athlete who was in failing health. And the sports writer said about this person in failing health, he said this, "They are listed as day to day." And then the sports writer poignantly added, "But then again, aren't we all?" Not good? Listed as day to day, but then again, aren't we all? And as I put all this together, I want to share with you that indeed we are listed as day to day. It was not my day back a month ago, but it could have been. And so I want to share with you today what God's word reminds us of as far as how do we approach day to day in the existence of the light of the end of our lives. I understand this will be a sober message. I don't want it to be somber. I realize that I'm not here to depress you today, but to impress upon all of us that we should live in light of the day-to-dayness of life, to be honest with you, but also to be hopeful as we live our lives for God. This morning, again, I want to see how do we live given that we are really listed as day-to-day. The background of this story, Psalm 90, is from the life of Moses. It's the only psalm that we have in the 150 psalms that was written by Moses, which makes it the oldest psalm in the book of Psalms. And we're not really sure the occasion of this writing of this psalm. It's uncertain. One good possibility is this, that Moses wrote after Numbers 14. Numbers 14 is where the Israelites had sent the 12 spies to check out the land during the Exodus, and 10 of them came back and says, "It's too dangerous, we should not enter the promised land." And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "No, it's good to go because God is with us." But the people actually want to kill them for that, and they refuse to go into the promised land. And so God sends judgment on them that everybody 20 years and older will die in the 40 years of the wilderness. They will die. In verses 5 through 9 and also verse 11, we see Moses talking about the anger of God against their unrighteousness, against the fact that they have rebelled against God. So that's one possibility. Another possibility is he wrote this after Numbers chapter 20, again where Israel rebelled against God because they didn't have any water, but it was also the time when Moses, remember, instead of speaking to the rock as God said, he struck the rock. And God told him, "You're not going to enter the promised land for your disobedience to me." So it's quite possible that he's writing here as he understands that he's not going to enter the promised land. And either way, whatever background there is here, Moses is writing in the context of the fact that I know that the time is short. I know that I'm living day to day. In light of that, how then should I live? So the question I want to answer this morning is, since we are listed day to day, how should we live our lives? Since we're listed day to day, how should we live our lives? Well, the first point is this. In light of that, we should recognize that reality. We should recognize that reality. In other words, recognize the fact that we are transient. We have a finite ending to our lives. Notice what he says in verse 10. Our lives contain, he says, 70 or with due strength, 80 years. Now, Moses is not giving this as a guarantee, but it's kind of a proverbial average. Moses himself lived to be 120 years old. But he says here in verse 10, eventually we fly away. This is where the song, I'll Fly Away, comes from. Psalm 89:48 says, what man can live and not see death? In verses 5 and 6, it references the idea that our lives are like grass that grows up in the morning, but by the afternoon withers away, which is typical in the Middle East because in the morning dew, the grass grows quickly, but then by the afternoon, it begins to fade away in the desert. It's a very familiar picture of the transience of our lives. In Psalm 103, verse 15, David writes, as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. It comes and it goes. In Psalm 39, David writes, verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as handbreadths and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. James picks this up in James 4:14 when he says, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor, literally a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Like those aerosol cans, you spray it quickly and it quickly dissipates. You are just a mist. My little incident reminded me to recognize and remember the reality. We are transient. There is a brevity to life. We don't know when God will stand up and give a call to end it all on our days on earth. Hebrews 9:27 says, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment. There is an appointed day for each of us. And since we are listed day to day, we must recognize that reality. And the second point is this. If we are listed day to day and we recognize that reality, therefore we should respond to that reality. We should respond to that reality. And there are five ways to respond, I believe, to that reality. The first is by making our days count. By making our days count. Notice verse 12, which we're going to focus on the most here. Verse 12 says, teach us to number our days. To number our days. Now, when we talk about numbering something, we tend to think of sequential. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm reminded of a story about a sports writer that was very effusive about the golfer Phil Mickelson. And he said to Phil Mickelson, you are spectacular. Your name is synonymous with the game of golf. You really know your way around the course. What is your secret? And Phil Mickelson simply said, the holes are numbered. That's a good answer. But the word here for numbering is not 1, 2, 3, 4 on the golf course. The word numbers here is the Hebrew word for to appoint, to reckon, or to take account of something, to take account of something. So what Moses is saying here is you need to take account of your days. First of all, to recognize that every one of those days is given to you as a gift from God. Some years ago, I ran across a coffee commercial of all things that said, we must treat each and every day like a gift that comes our way. It's a great commercial. It's a great reminder. Treat each and every day like a gift that comes our way from God. But with that gift from God, we must also treat each day as for God. So putting this all together, we are to list ourselves day to day. We reckon that our lives are a gift from God that are to be used for God. Teach us to number our days. The second way we can respond to the reality of having our days numbered is this: by surrendering our lives to God. By surrendering our lives to God. See, the first and foremost and most important step in numbering our days is recognizing why we are on earth. Why did God create us? And that is to have a relationship with the living God. In Isaiah 43, 7, it says, "Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created, listen, for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made." God made us, created us to have a relationship with him. In verses 1 to 3, Moses celebrates the creation of God, but he also says that this is a personal relationship with the living God. It's relationship that God wants with us. The most important thing, therefore, to settle in numbering or making our days count is to recognize that I'm here for God. And the best way to make that relationship work, obviously, is to know God through Jesus. Jesus said in John 6, 29, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So the first step in making our lives count is to surrender to Jesus, to recognize that my life is dedicated to him. I've given myself to Christ as my Savior and my Lord of my life, that's the most important decision of your life. And if you've never made that here today, I encourage you to think about that salvation that Jesus gives. He died for our sins, rose again, lives today to give us that relationship with God. And we realize that if we don't come to Christ, we face judgment for our sin. It separates us from God forever. Don't think, I've got plenty of time. We don't know. Don't think I can get to it later or there'll be a moment where I can come to Christ. Now, the Bible says, is the day of salvation, to believe in Jesus. So that relationship with Christ is the most important one. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 says it poetically, "Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed." Remember him, in other words, before it's too late. The third way we can respond to the reality that we are listed as day to day is by submitting our days to the Lord. Submitting our days to the Lord. If you notice throughout the psalm here, the word day is used, not months, not years, not even decades. It says, teach us to number our days, because that's really all we have. We submit our plans, our pursuits, our purposes to him daily. We live out surrender on the macro level, but the micro level is every day being submitted to what God wants for me today. And I got thinking about that submission in terms of something called bucket lists. Have you heard that term, bucket lists? Okay, it was made real popular back in 2007 when there was a movie that came out called Bucket List. It had Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman in it. And these two guys randomly meet up in a hospital room, and they're both diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. And as they're talking, they talk about these bucket lists, which comes from the phrase kicking the bucket, which means to die. So they are talking about, what do you want to do before you die? Because we're going to die. And so they start planning out and they go off on these adventures. They make good choices. They make bad choices about their bucket lists. And I've come to realize that most people I talk to have some sort of bucket list. I was talking to our staff about this message this last week and sharing, and I asked them what your bucket lists are. And when they got to me, I said, I think I've got one particular one. And that is, I want to find out where they make those Linder chocolate balls. And I'm going to go to that place. And I'm going to gorge myself on those. I'm a little shallow. Okay, I understand that. But I would love to go there. In all seriousness, we have our bucket list. I was at the Las Vegas airport, of all places, and on my way to California recently. And as we were traveling down there, I went to the bookstore and was wandering around, and I came across this amazing titled book. It's a book by Jay Pateleitner, which is called What If God Wrote Your Bucket List? Isn't that a great title? What if God wrote your bucket list? The subtitle was 52 things you don't want to miss in life. And when I started thinking about this bucket list, I thought about the fact that every day is really that bucket list that we go before God with and say, God, what am I submitting to you daily? It certainly includes things like loving him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. It certainly means letting my light shine for Jesus. It certainly means exhibiting kindness and compassion, generosity. It means devotion to my family. As one author said, it's always bending to God's direction in our lives. So my bucket list, my daily list, is to bend my life toward the things of God. One of my absolute favorite Christian song lyrics comes from a song by a guy named Jeff Moore, a Christian artist, who was talking about this idea of numbering our days. And he wrote a song called When All Is Said and Done. And the words say this: will they say I loved my family, that I was a faithful friend, that I lived to tell of God's own Son, when all is said and done? Isn't that great? When it's all over, what are they going to say about my life? Did I submit myself to God? The fourth response, I believe, to the reality of our being listed as day-to-day is surrendering, but specifically surrendering our will to God. Surrendering our will as we submit our daily plans to the Lord. This is the thought of, not my will be done, but yours, Lord. Remember Jesus in the garden prayed, you know, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. If you look at the letters of Paul, many times Paul refers to the idea, I'm going to come see you if God wills. I'm going to be there if the Lord wills. That doesn't mean we don't plan our days. We do. Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of a man plans his ways. That's good. But the Lord directs our steps. We hold it all loosely. We surrender our will to, what does God want to teach us today? How does God want to interrupt us today? What is God going to take us to today? I'm giving my day and surrendering my will to his. And finally, to respond to the reality that we're listed day to day is by seeking to serve God, by seeking to serve the Lord. We make our days count when we understand that we are in service for God. And that means everything we do. In Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. We think we're going to our job to serve our job, but not really. We're serving the Lord. We think that we're with our family to serve our family, but not totally. It's to serve the Lord. Whether we're at the grocery store, whether we're at the church in ministry, whether we're on the mission field, all of it is done to serve the Lord. And that doesn't stop at a certain age. Notice verse 12 doesn't say, number your days until you hit 60 or 70 or 80 and beyond. We do age in our lives. That's a given, isn't it? And the fact is that we will have limitations to how much we can perhaps serve in our latter years, but we are never lacking the invitation to serve where God leads us to serve. I've often pointed out in funerals, especially those who have passed away at younger ages, that ultimately what matters in our lives is not the duration of our days. It's not the number. It's not the duration that matters most. It is the donation of our lives, a donation that seeks to serve the Lord. We recognize that we're listed as day to day. We should respond in these ways. But the third point is this. We should also realize this is a lesson to learn. Notice what the psalmist says. It is a lesson to learn. Notice verse 12 says, teach us to number our days. As a friend of mine says, Lord, speak loud and speak often and remind us of the fact that our days are numbered. To remind us, Lord, we don't have forever. We number our days literally because our days are numbered. And God has amazing ways to remind us of that. One of the ways is funerals. I don't know anybody who really loves going to funerals, but it certainly reminds us that our days are numbered as well. Or when we hear of a sudden death of a loved one or a friend, or we face a sudden illness that we weren't expecting, or an unexpected hospitalization, and reminds us, my days are numbered. I need to teach myself to think in those terms. Or sometimes God reminds us through what we might call near-death experiences. You probably have had experiences where you could have died, right? I think back to last September. Janelle and I were hiking up at Goose Creek Falls near Brundage, and it's a pretty large waterfall, maybe 20 feet tall, the main falls, and then there's about a 10-foot fall off to the side. And so we're down there taking pictures, Janelle's taking pictures, and I'm hiking around, and I said, I'm just going to climb up that 10-foot section here. That'll be a good thing. And so I climb up this slippery rock, and as soon as I turn around, I lose my footing. And literally, I slid down that waterfall. I really shouldn't go out, you know, I really shouldn't exercise. I really should stay on the couch. But I slammed against that rock, and I literally rode that waterfall down into the pool. And you know how in the movies they show people going under the water and can't get out? That's my first thought, because I went deep. And next thing I know, you know, Janelle is taking pictures, and she is looking through the camera lens, and she sees me floating by. And she's taking pictures, and her first thought is, gee, I wonder why Greg's in the water. And then it dawns on her, Greg's in the water, this is not good. And I was panicky, I was trying to get out, it was slippery rocks, and it was one of those moments in life when you said, I could have died easily. Or maybe you've had that experience with your children. Again, I think back to something that happened to us when our son Jonathan was 2 years old, and Jonathan was out riding his little tricycle in Long Beach, and in those homes there, they build them up on berms, and so the driveways all go down into the street. They're above the street level. So he's ahead of us. We're walking along, 2 years old, little tricycle, and this car starts backing out, but I'm too far away from Jonathan to stop anything. So I start screaming and yelling, and that car, it's a miracle. It stopped just before it came down the driveway where Jonathan was. My hands still get sweaty. Our hands get sweaty. Think about what could have happened in the instant of that moment. It can happen, God reminds us, in these experiences, like falling off an elliptical. You never know. You see, God's the master teacher, isn't he? He continues to remind us day by day that our days are listed day by day. And so therefore, finally, in light of knowing all this, we should reach for a heart of wisdom. We should reach for a heart of wisdom. Again, verse 12, he says, teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. The word present there literally means to gain or to bring it in, to bring it in. So in other words, God wants to teach us that our days are listed so that we gain perspective on what God's given to us and that this could be it. It's from him and for him we live. And the word wisdom here literally means skill at life based on God's guidance. And beloved, the greatest skill you and I can have is gaining the wisdom of the perspective that our lives are not forever, but they are for God. As verse 1 says, Lord, you've been our dwelling place through all generations. Verse 14, he satisfies us with the morning with his loving kindness. Verse 14, he makes us sing for joy and be glad all of our days. The greatest skill at wisdom and living life is to recognize every moment of every day is a gift from God. And the ultimate wisdom, therefore, is to recognize why I am here and who I serve. And the greatest peace in our lives comes from knowing God's got our days. As a Christian, to know God has my life. And when I die, I get to be with Jesus. And while I live on earth, I live for Jesus. And when he says, whatever day it is, come home. Come home. I'll be ready. We are listed as day to day. We don't know how long we have on earth. My little incident was a great reminder to me of that. And so I hope today that the wisdom of the Lord will be yours, that God will stir you up by way of reminder to say, I'm listed day to day, so therefore I will number my days and I'll make them count. I will surrender my life to God and his will. I will submit my plans and my bucket lists and everything I do to him, and I will continue to serve him. so that I gain real wisdom of that knowledge before the Lord. Last point. God is the one who writes the list of our lives and the days. And God is the one who holds that list. And so I urge you to think about that and to pray about those days. Teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much that we have been given the days we have. And Lord, as you bring us to yourself, we have the opportunity to trust you with those days. And God, I thank you so much that Jesus lives so that we might live for him. And God, I don't know, as we look at the congregation, they look at me today, we don't know. What day is it? What's the number? What have you appointed for us? Lord, teach us to live in that reality that is coming, not to dread, not to fear, not to just have a blast while we last, but God, to give our lives to you, to recognize that every breath, every day is a gift from you. God, help us to see that perspective from your word and your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.